Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Gabrielle Sismondi, Head of DevOps and Architectures at Fuse Universal. We talk about cultural change a lot, and it's never there's never a one answer fits all policy for this, I suppose. So it's always interesting to get people's takes on it. But you know, when we talk about culture and creating a culture and maybe changing a culture, you know, it's a complicated thing to try and achieve. You know, how do you kind of take on this question, and how do you start to consider, you know, making cultural changes?
Well, I guess one of the first things is that, as you were saying, because it's about people, it's hard. It's not something that comes easy. And in general, it takes time. You can't expect to just join a company and think that you can change everything in one day. But I think, first of all, is trying to understand the environment you're working on. So it's a lot about empathizing with people, about understanding which are the things that drive them, and what do they expect from you as a leader and as someone that should kind of drive a change, because that is what you're asked to do, right? So I think that there's like a first step, which is just about listening a lot, understanding people, and see which are those small kind of things you can start bringing in to make people feel excited about things that are happening. Challenge them, because it's a lot about challenging, but at the same time trying not to make them feel too much uncomfortable, right? Because changing, it's very hard. So if you make someone feel uncomfortable, it could potentially give up. So I think that's one of the most important things. It's kind of push them a bit outside of their comfort zone without just changing everything within one day. So small steps, trying to challenge them, but not too much. And then just listen, and then just understand how they are feeling about it.
I do think that I agree with you that listening is a huge component of changing things from a cultural perspective. And when we think about that as well, it's not just there's a right and a wrong way of doing things culturally. It's the best fit for the business, for the environment. You know, it's not just a straightforward question as that's a bad culture, this is a good culture, right? Who's to say that? So I suppose, how do you approach, aligning a culture with a team? And is there even a correct answer for that, I suppose?
Well, I guess there's no correct answer for that. I think that what my experience told me so far is that, at least when it comes to specifically to development jobs and technical stuff. So people in general enjoy what they do, and so they want to feel like they're learning, they want to feel like they're getting something new, You know, and so it's like giving a new toy to a kid. They just want to feel that excitement of being learning a new technology, being challenged, and I think that's one of the most important thing, because eventually doing always same things, people just get bored. So I guess that's for me one of the main components when I need to deal with a team. It's like, how can I make sure that my team is learning and they are happy about it? Because that's what really makes a change. So everything is about learning, regardless of, you can be learning a new technology, or you can just be learning social skills or soft skills, but it's always learning. So the only way to introduce that change and to start making small steps is by giving people the possibility to learn.
I agree. And, you know, you have to take, you know, that from a leadership perspective with a great sense of responsibility. And I suppose the challenge associated with you know, challenging people is, you know, ensuring that you're on kind of the cutting edge of everything that you're working on, and, you know, challenging them both technically, but I can also imagine challenging them as people. So you have to, as a leader, take that on and be constantly learning and try and stay one step ahead. You know, how difficult is that to do?
Well, I guess in the last years of my career, I've been kind of obsessed about learning, but not in a bad way. But I really understood that what can make a difference is how fast you are about learning. How can you be sure that you're understanding how the world is moving, how technology is changing? And that doesn't mean that you always have to know every single detail of every new technology, because that's impossible. But you have to understand what's the trend and be able, feeling comfortable about experimenting something new that you know is going to be the next step. So I guess technology has been changing so much in the last year. So we went through with the cloud and you know, containers, and now even containers seem like to be, they're becoming old because now we have serverless. There's so much going on that you really can't be all the time the best on every technology, but you can be sure that you're understanding where the world is going and how things are changing.
And I can imagine that being quite a fun task to do. You know, is doing your kind of research and keeping up to date on things.
Yeah, well, it is. It means you need to be very active in the community, first of all, because I think that's probably one of the most important things, because, you know, even if you want to learn and if you want to search for resources to learn, there's so much material in the internet. It could be online courses, documentation, whatever. There's so many things to go through that it's very hard to stay up to date. While being part of a community, it's much easier and it's more efficient, because you get involved with people and you're exposed to experiences and through problems that people have already solved, and they can give you a lot.
So let's talk a little bit about your kind of background as well. You know, how did you, I suppose, first that you'll get your start in, you know, in technology, and, you know, what's the kind of journey looked like since then?
Yeah, I think I've been always very interested in human interaction, to be honest. But it happened to me to be good in technical things, so, and I enjoy them. So at the beginning, it was just like I started working in IT because I found that was something interesting enough, but at the same point, at the same moment, like something I was good at. So I went through the more classical system engineering path, so networks, so servers, and then I started approaching the cloud. And I think that an interesting point that really changed a lot everything was when I, at some point, I just started working for a software company. We were about to start a big project with Cisco, and they needed someone with a more system engineering background. And eventually, the project didn't start, and so I was offered a developer position. And that kind of changed everything, because that's one of the points in which I really needed to reinvent myself and to learn a lot of new things. I was not a developer at the moment. So I accepted it. It was a challenge. And I think I learned a lot from there. And then I kind of started going back to what my background was and say, I'm going to put everything together. And so starting applying those development patterns to architectures and infrastructure. And then like, how can I automate things? Because also, I think, like everyone in system engineering, I'm lazy, so I don't want to do the same things twice. And everything that can be automated, should always be automated, so that you never do the same thing again. And that's kind of how I got into DevOps. But then I just started going a bit farther, understanding that I really wanted to go back to those human interactions I really love. And that's why I approached more the cultural side of DevOps. So how can I make my team work better, or work together so we can get the best?
Interesting. So it was kind of, well, I suppose you're lucky in a sense then that you always had the interest in the people side of things, but the technical side was also, I mean, it sounds like it came, relatively naturally, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, I would say it did. It's a bit hilarious. It's funny that lots of the time, like, I've been appreciated a lot for my technical skills, while I do consider that it's not my best side. You know, it's like I do feel stronger on the human side, but turns out that I still can deliver the technical side. So I think somehow that part for me came kind of easy. I like solving problems, so I think that's one very important thing. So if there's something I can do right now, I know that I just can see it, go through documentation, learn new technical skills, and I'm going to solve the problem. So I think being very perseverant, I would say, that's one of the main things that helps you develop yourself.
And obviously now you're the DevOps and transformation lead or head of DevOps. How did, I suppose, you first start with DevOps? Was it, you sounds like you came from the development side. I think DevOps is quite an interesting space at the minute. Was how did that first come about? And what was the what kind of side did you come from? More the operational side or the development side?
Well, as I was saying, I had like a mixed background, so I jumped from more operations to development, and then I just put everything together. But I think that one of my position was in a consultant company. I guess if I remember well, after like 1 month, I was about to leave the company because I said like we're just doing boring stuff here, and it was quite nice. I had a chat with my manager, and he said like, you're right. We're not doing the right things. How can we improve? How can we get better? And that's one of the moments in which I just really started thinking a lot about all the cultural side of DevOps. So what does it mean doing DevOps? Because for sure we have an important part, which is automation. Now with the cloud, you can automate everything. You can write your infrastructure as a code. You can also test your infrastructure. You can do pretty much everything. You can develop on the code your infrastructure and automate everything or the processes. But on the other side, then you have like something that which is probably more common operational job, which is like monitoring and being sure that everything is working 100% of time. But then you have all that cultural side saying, how can I put all these things together and I can be sure that together with developers, we create just a single pipeline from the beginning to the end. So a service really begins when you start thinking about it, when you start writing the first lines of code, but it finishes when it's deployed. And it's a shared responsibility from the beginning to the end. And that's the really interesting thing, because enable people to think about everything in the work process.
Interesting. And I can imagine that with a team like a DevOps team, you get and this kind of brings our conversation full circle almost. But I can imagine that it brings quite a diverse group of people who, you know, probably from a lot of different backgrounds originally, and I'm sure that really helps, from the creative standpoint and just a collaborative standpoint, to have a lot of fresh perspectives. Is that very much the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's nice to see that sometimes when it comes to solve a specific problem, for example, that could be a Linux problem, you have someone that in his career went through a specific position as a Linux engineer and knows exactly what to do. And then when it comes to an automation problem, you have someone that maybe has been a developer for a few years and can solve that specific problem with automation, can improve the way you test, can make sure that whatever happens, if a test is broken, you're not deploying, so you don't affect the actual production stack. But at the same time, you also have people that have experience as software engineering, so they can provide solutions. They can think about the bigger picture. How are we gonna move further and be sure that our infrastructure will support hundreds of thousands or millions of users across the world? And when you put everything together, it's very interesting, because everyone approaches problem in a different way.
Right. I mean, but I think that collaboration and the fact that people do approach things in different ways, it is ultimately going to get us the best outcomes. Or I would certainly think that is the formula that would get you as close to possible for the best outcome. So I'm sure that's a compelling environment to work in, and probably think yourself very lucky to work with such a group of people.
Yeah, I think also, like, to be honest, in my concept of DevOps, I don't really see a DevOps team taking responsibility for all this process. I see a DevOps team helping to bring this culture of DevOps, which is definitely not a task, but it's a way of working, to the whole technical team. So that's really how you get the most from the developers, from your QA team, and for who works close with infrastructure and everything. So it's a whole process, and everyone, and I really like the fact that so providing that high quality software you want to give to your client, it's a shared responsibility.
When you look at the projects you work on now, and you know how different the approach is. I know you're kind of a big advocate of agile, but how much different has these methodologies made the way that you work from, you know, when you first were involved in technology in your earlier years to now? Is it quite different?
Yeah, I think agile has definitely changed the way we work. But I think most of all, I'm not a huge fan of methodologies. I'm not a huge fan of methodologies, because, you know, it's like, what's really important for me, it's the value that's in Agile. So the values are really related with people, with teamwork, with making sure that you have very small feedback loops, so you can correct your direction during the way. So that was really, that's the most important thing, right? If you think about just the methodology, and you look at, for example, at Scrum was made probably 20 years ago, something like that, and at the beginning didn't even mention DevOps or anything like that. It was about in a sprint, having someone that you could deploy at the end of the sprint. But now, with continuous deployment, continuous integration, you can deploy every day, you can deploy every hour. So lots of things have changed, and methodologies have to adapt to new technologies and to the cloud and to all the changes of the last 20 years. But the values are still the same.
Interesting. Right. So yeah, I like that. It's almost, it is just concentrating and focusing on, the outcomes and what you're working towards, and not getting too caught up in the methodologies, just figuring out the best and most efficient way to get things done, regardless of, I suppose, however you want to frame it or coin the term.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the most important things about Agile, which I really love and we try to do regularly, is, for example, the retrospective. So the retrospective is a very important moment, because it's when you actually have a honest conversation with your team and say, okay, let's see what went wrong in the last sprint or in the last 20 days. And let's see what we can learn from our errors, or just even honestly, you can, if you understand how to give and how to receive feedback from people, you can actually even feel free to say to one colleague, listen, I don't really agree with what you've done, and there can be an interesting conversation. So it's a lot. It's not just about technology. It's about feelings and having those retrospectives constantly ensure you that your team is always kind of feel comfortable, and you try to break those problems that constantly are going on inside of the team.
Right. I like it. And finally, I guess, just as a fun kind of finisher, what technologies are you personally, just the most excited to see, happen that, that might not have, actually come to fruition just yet?
Well, I think I'm really looking forward to see more and more people using serverless architectures and going to more into event-driven development. That's definitely something I think is gonna become more and more important. I mean, containers are absolutely great. We're using them a lot, so we're working on Kubernetes, and they are very flexible and they are great for microservices. But what I found is that now there are so many things moving that lots of services are not the classic microservice approach and microservice pattern doesn't apply for them. So instead, you can use something like Lambda functions or Google functions, whatever, and scale massively and just use that computational power when you need it. And that's, I think, it's going to become more and more important in the future.
I like it. Gabriel, it was very interesting. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.